Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the worst fucking podcast you've ever heard. Both mics.
Hey, welcome to Both Mics.
Hey, folks, Both Mics is a show about nothing and everything. Over there is Mike Sofka.
And over there is Mike Taylor. And together we are Both Mics.
Yes, we are. Show number 134 of Both Mics. Wow. Check us out wherever you find podcasts. Yes, we are everywhere. iHeartRadio, go up to the Alexa thing and say, Alexa, play the Both Mics podcast. And it's actually pretty cool. Yeah. Didn't realize how famous we were. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah. The missus wanted to buy another Alexa. So now we have three Alexas in the house. Like,
can you get them to talk to each other?
Yeah. And actually, I found out there's like really cool things. Like you can have all the Alexas play at the same time and stuff. But yeah, I did not know that.
And is that to like play music that way or?
Yeah. What? Like you could play, you know, the same music throughout the entire house or wherever you have one, actually. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, in case I need to know what 8+8 is or something, it'll tell me. Yes.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, we talked about in 133 not long ago about the housing market and about the way houses are bought in Florida, but throughout the whole country. But, you know, Florida's got four cities in the top 10 with the most vacancies because the rental rates are out of control. Yeah. And this article, according to WESH.com, that's the local NBC affiliate here in Central Florida, so it must be true, would-be Florida homebuyers being boxed out by real estate investors. So you got people who think it's the American dream. Buy a home, you know, get your stuff. But it's a nightmare for most people because they can't even get a house. You put an offer in on it and then a few thousand more than the asking price just to find out a few hours later that you've been outbid by another buyer on a cash offer.
Right. Yeah. Well, these investors, they come in and they'll buy like three houses in a neighborhood for, say, $150,000. Then they'll come in and buy three more in the same neighborhood and overbid by $50,000. So they'll buy three more at $200,000. Well, what's that do to the three they bought previously? It raises them by $50,000 each. And then they hold on to them.
Not losing anything.
Yeah. Then they hold on to them. And of course, you know, the market's going up. So they turn around and sell all six of them for $225,000. And they end up making $300,000 in a matter of months. Yeah.
And what's happened is a lot of people are getting discouraged. They're talking about this guy. It happened to him at least three times where he put in a bid more than asking price and was outbid by a cash buyer from another place. They didn't say who it was. I guess they can't. But this guy's saying, I give up. I stopped looking for houses. I can't buy a home. I'm ready to buy a home. I got my shit together, my ducks in a row, my credit. I got everything.
Yep.
I can't buy one.
Yep. At least in a place where you want to live. Yeah, there's plenty of places to buy out there. I get emails every day of houses for sale at, you know, and it's the same houses they're trying to sell week after week. But you don't want to live there.
So they give an example of rent in the Central Florida market. Most of the single family rental homes we found on websites for several companies are priced between $2,000 and $2,700 a month. A three-bedroom, two-bath rental in Maitland was listed for $26.95 a month.
That's unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable.
They estimate that home that we're talking about at $2,700 a month is likely to sell for about $399.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't buy anything in the subdivision I live in for under like $469, $470.
So using the same example, they went ahead and worked up numbers based on a conventional fixed rate loan for someone with good credit, including taxes and insurance. And the payment is roughly $27.80 a month, just $85 difference.
Yeah. Yeah. My son in 2017, we went to go visit him in his house in Colorado Springs. He rents and he was paying $1,300 a month then. In 2017, I'm like, that's astronomical. I couldn't believe that he was paying $1,300. $1,300 is a bargain now.
Yeah. You know?
You can live in a garden apartment for $1,300. You know,
but you know, there's some people who can't do it, and that's why the homeless situation's whack, and that's how come everything's so expensive. They're gonna have to take a loss at this rate. If things keep going like they're going, they're gonna take a loss somewhere. Something's got to give somewhere sometime. These companies with all the money are just counting that it's not gonna be them.
Yeah, it's gonna get to the point where how many stores do we need? How many mattress stores do we need in one town? How many, everywhere you put a house, you have to put a Walmart next to it. You know, people are going to buy food when they buy food. Does your company need to be in every single market? Yeah. Well, because the country allows it, the capital system allows it. You don't need, to drive cross town and pass seven McDonald's. Dunkin' Donuts, perfect example. If you go from here to Daytona, every freaking exit has a Dunkin' Donuts. Do we need a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks at every exit on 995?
Well, sure we do. Haven't you seen some fat asses around lately?
Yeah.
I like donuts, dude. I get it. I like them. I like coffee.
Dude, on my little break here, I went and had some donuts. We had little mini tasty cake donuts. Me and the boys had some donuts.
Nice.
But yeah, we don't need to cover the whole planet with houses and freaking Starbucks.
Crazy.
There's 15,000 permits that have been. Hold on.
That's all right. While we're waiting for Mike, I'm going to take us right into the alien update here. We'll have. Wait a second. Hey, Nikki, how are you? Hi. How are you? What's the matter? Oh, that is a fake cry if I ever saw one. What's the matter?
It's definitely fake.
What's up with the fake cry, Nikki? What's up with the crying? How are you? Oh, my.
Yeah. Not a tear in sight. What does Xander do? Yeah. Got powdered sugar from his donuts all over his face.
Nice. I'm sure Mom's going to be happy that you're feeding the kids all that sugar late at night. That's good.
Yes, we're good. As long as the Mountain Dew, that'll be after at 9 o'clock.
All right, I'm going to take us into the alien update here.
All right,
my second favorite part of the show, the alien update.
Buzz, look, an alien! Where?
He's an alien, but you can be an alien robot, right? Like, not all robots are domestic.
I computed the aliens. They are capable of sinister and dangerous acts.
You weird alien man!
All right, the alien update. This is when we talk about people that are obviously aliens or have had alien contact or alien technology given to them. We're talking about Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. We're talking about Richard Branson. We're talking about all these people who have advanced us socially with technology, and they've made a ton of money for themselves. They're among the richest people in the world. So out of 7 billion people on the planet, I'm not convinced this handful is that much smarter than everybody else. Obviously, they've had some help and encouragement here. That's why they're aliens. Amazon.
Yes.
Amazon, we talked about them. And the Amazon founder, Jeff Bezos, buying into another company in 133 to buy up these houses, like we were just talking about a minute ago. Now Amazon is buying a little-known medical provider for $3.9 billion.
Little-known? $3 billion? Okay.
The e-commerce giant's planning to buy one medical for $18 per share gives it a firm foothold in the healthcare sector. Amazon will dramatically expand its healthcare reach with its planned $3.9 billion acquisition of One Medical, a primary care provider with 188 offices in 25 markets nationwide. They offered $18 a share for One Medical's parent company, One Life Healthcare, 77% higher than the previous day's closing price. Sparks flew on Wall Street after Thursday's announcement, powering the stock up 70%.
Wow. So they're pulling an Elon Musk, a Twitter.
Almost, but I think they're gonna. This is gonna go through without a hitch for them because they say this one medical may have grown too quickly. It's yet to turn a profit since going public in 2020. In the first 3 months of 2022, the losses topped $90 million.
Wow.
So basically what they're doing is they're buying themselves a market share to get started in the medical business. See, because when you could pick up the phone or on your computer, get whatever product you want delivered by Amazon, they don't want to lose you to someone else another way. You get sick? Hey, we got a guy for that. You need a car? Right. We got a guy for that. You want music? We have a plan for that. You want TV? We got a plan for that.
You need a pill? We got a guy on pills who can deliver it to you.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, this is the classic thing about back in the day. I can remember hearing old country songs, and what's it, Tennessee Ernie Miller, Ernie whatever. He's the guy that did the Tennessee Williams, 16 Tennessee Williams. Tons. You familiar? Yeah, are you familiar with that song? 16 Tons, right?
Yeah, yes. 16 Tons, okay. And what do you get? Something like that. Another day older
and deeper in debt. And then they say that they end up owing all their money to the company store.
Yes.
I guess the company helps them out on credit in between paydays. And when they do get paid, they got to take all the money to the company store. The people who just gave them the money for work. Well, that's what Amazon's trying to do here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They already have an online pharmacy called PillPack. They do. Amazon bought online pharmacy PillPack for $753 million in 2018, which turned into Amazon Pharmacy 2 years later. Kind of crazy, dude. I see you. I hear you there, Nikki. Crazy. What's on your shirt there, Nikki? What's on your shirt? Blue and white. What, you got a tie on there? Oh, yeah, you're all dressed up. Are you a policeman? Are you Paw Patrol? Nice. Anyway, I just find it fascinating that Amazon's going to be one of those companies. Of course, Tesla, led by Elon Musk. I know we normally make this the Elon Musk portion of the show all the time, but Tesla is in the news. According to Electrek.co, Tesla is surging and the shorts are hurting. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about Bill Gates asking Elon Musk for donations to start this world hunger thing or whatever.
Yes.
And Musk very publicly texts him back and says, didn't you take a short on Tesla? Well, this is going to show you that Bill Gates was wrong and Elon is right because the stock is up. Everything is up.
Wow.
Was surged 9% yesterday, and it's up another 3% today. Buddy.
Interesting. All right. Kids are gone.
Right. Tesla reported strong second quarter results, 42% year-on-year revenue growth, strong vehicle demand, even as they raised the car prices, and continued production forecast of 50% annual sales profit. Even as gross margins slip to supply chain challenges, the end of the supply chain hell may turn into the short squeeze hell for TSLA, that's Tesla stock, short sellers, as Elon Musk says the firm has the potential for record-breaking second half of the year. Buddy.
Go team.
Crazy. Go Elon Musk. I like him. I don't know. He's the most likable of the bunch. What do you say? You think – I mean, you like him better than Zuckerberg, right?
Okay.
Do you like him better than Jeff Bezos? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have fond feelings for any of them.
Okay. Do you find that Musk is the most likable of the group, though? If you had to pick one?
I'm going to go with Branson. We talked about Branson the other day.
Okay. Yeah, we might need to reevaluate that because after looking at those pictures, he might be a dude. After you showed me that picture of Musk with his shirt off and then the picture of Branson with his shirt off, those are two different things. You know, if somebody's just tuning in, they're going to think the wrong thing on this show. I'm going to stop about talking about dudes with their shirts off. Anyway, Tesla's not looking back. Tesla's looking good.
You look at guys with their shirts off long enough, you'll get monkeypox.
That's right.
Yeah, be careful, right. Guys.
Well, we talked about Cadillac getting into the electric vehicle game. Yes, we talked about them with their, the Celestique. You see the prices on these things?
Hey, isn't it like $300,000?
Yes.
Very, very limited niche market, for sure.
The car makes a pivot for Cadillac into hand-built vehicles, which are typically reserved for high-end sports cars and uber luxury models. GM did not release any technical details about the Celestique, such as its electric range, performance, or other metrics. GM on Friday unveiled the Celestique, previewing an upcoming car that will cost $300,000 or more when it goes into production by late 2023.
Yeah, and they're going to take over the world with it. Whatever. Jeez. Bunch of idiots.
Most people can't afford $300,000. Most people can't afford what an electric car is going for now at like $60,000. They can't afford it.
$300,000, and what, you get a mortgage on the car?
Yeah, is it a 30-year note?
Yeah, 30-year note. You pay $1,300 a month for 360 payments. Yeah, the car is dead within, 10 years.
Yeah, give it 10 years. Then what do you do with the batteries? There's a story out right now where this couple bought, and I think we touched on it, this couple bought a used electric car for their child. And their child started driving it, and they were having problems. So they went to the dealer, and the dealer said, oh, yeah, you got to replace all the batteries. Okay, how much is that? Well, it was like twice as much as what they paid for the friggin' car.
Exactly.
And then where are those batteries going to go to, Mr. Green Climate Change guy? What are you going to do with those batteries and those dangerous rare earth metals and the harm that those things could cause, buddy?
Right. Yeah. No, we have yet to see the tip of the iceberg on this with these batteries. It's no better than nuclear waste. You know, we're going to bury it all in Kansas, you know?
The vehicle, this is the Celestique, will feature 5 LED interactive displays, including a 55-inch diagonal screen spanning the front cabin of the car. A smart glass roof. Yes, 55-inch on the whole front of the car, I guess where your windshield would be. They're going to have a smart glass roof that includes customizable transparency options and Ultra Cruise, GM's next generation advanced driver assist system, and the company has said will be capable of driving itself in most circumstances.
Okay, so
this car, dude,
all that special glass that Elon Musk bought was meant for the Cadillacs, and he bought it up so Cadillac couldn't have it.
Yeah, there you go, dude. Yes.
And then he turned around and sold it to Cadillac for $300,000.
Exactly, dude. Now we're cooking with grease, dude. Yes, absolutely. So, are you going to run out and buy one of these $300,000 cars, Mike? I can't see myself doing it. But a high roller like yourself, you buy one of these,
right? No. Yeah. I have a casino shirt on.
First one.
It's a free shirt that I got from Royal Caribbean.
That's how most people with money are, dude. They don't spend it on shit like that. I don't understand who's buying a $300,000 electric car, dude.
No.
I want to see this.
Not very many people. 26 people, that's who.
Well, another car manufacturer is in the news. Jalopnik.com reports a Hyundai-owned supplier in Alabama is using child labor.
What?
Reuters reports extensive evidence of migrant children as young as 12 working at Smart Alabama, a metal stamping plant majority owned by Hyundai. 12-year-old laborers from migrant families.
Wow.
They provide parts for the Elantra, the Sonata, the Santa Fe in the U.S. The Reuters report paints a chilling picture of migrant children working long shifts at the plant instead of attending school. The Smart plant in Luverne, Alabama, has a documented history of health and safety violations, including amputation hazards.
Amputation incidents? Yeah.
It says hazards.
A cardboard baler is an amputation hazard.
Reuters reports noting that the factory has been hit with, pop-up, hang on, Factory has been hit with nearly $50,000 in violations from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The Reuters report cites area police, former and current employees of Smart, and family of three children alleged to have worked in the plant, all of whom confirmed the allegations of child labor violations.
Wow. Like, how do you think you're going to get away with it in this day and era? You know, you can't even get in a fist fight at Disney World without it making the news.
Reuters reports first discovered the alleged child labor situation when the daughter of a Guatemalan migrant family went missing from her home in Enterprise, Alabama. The girl, who was 14 years old, is alleged to have worked at the Alabama plant along with two of her brothers, currently aged 12 and 15. The child's father, Pedro Tizzi, was interviewed by Reuters and confirmed that all three children had worked at Smart, Alabama, and were not attending school while they worked at the plant. Alabama laws require children under 17 or under to be enrolled in school, prohibits anyone from under 18 working in metal stamping or pressing jobs.
Right. In a supermarket, you can't even use a slicer in the deli or use a knife in the meat department or produce if you're under 18. So, but like I said, how do they think they can get away with this? You know, there's, you know, it's like faking the moon landing. You know, not everybody can keep a secret. The secret would be out. Idiots.
Hey, I went to the place where they filmed the moon landing. I know.
Of course.
So there's you're a big guy on TikTok, right, Mike?
No.
Yeah, good. There's a TikToker.
Yeah,
she's a chef, okay. And she has a sauce which is pink sauce. TikTok's okay. Pink sauce chef defends her viral condiment.
Okay,
the Florida chef whose Pepto-Bismol hued condiment went viral this week, with people on social media saying her TikToks were Zapruder-like intensity and questioning its legality, safety, and ingredients.
I knew there was going to be a Pepto-Bismol reference.
It was, have you seen this?
No. But believe it or not, in Poland, there's a soup that you can buy. It's like not a brothy soup. It's like a creamy soup that's actually pink.
It's borscht with cream in it.
Probably.
Borscht is beet soup.
Yeah. Well, it's pickled beets. Yeah.
All right.
Borscht.
Anyway, this Miami area personal chef, who goes by her professional name, Chef Pinga. I'm gonna spell it. It's P-I-I. Is that P or Pi?
I would say it's Pi. Pi? Pi?
Her newly introduced pink sauce have been the center of a Barbie-colored swirl of controversy and the subject of dozens of TikTok videos that have racked up millions of views.
Can we get some more metaphors? Really curious.
Yeah, right. She's only 29. And she says she has a food facility. It's a commercial facility that is certified by the Food and Drug Administration per law. She's not doing this in her home kitchen, as some people suggest. She says she's been making the sauce, which she uses to top fried chicken, French fries, and vegetables, long before producing it for sale. She says, "I've been using it and serving it to my clients for a year. No one has ever gotten sick."
Okay.
Yada, yada, yada. She had poor packaging problems, yada, yada. She's only sold about 700 bottles so far. But the videos have 3.9 million views.
Interesting.
So that's my question, Mike. Is there anything, I know you're a picky eater.
Very.
Is there a color on your food that you won't eat? Like, I don't know if I can eat anything pink. It doesn't look natural to me. You know what I mean? Could you eat something pink?
No. Pink, okay. Purple.
You don't like green stuff anyway either, do you?
Yeah, I'll have salad, you know.
We know tomatoes.
Tomatoes, no. No. Okay. Salsa, yes. Ketchup, yes. Tomato sauce, yes. Slice a tomato, put salt on it, and eat it? No.
Bananas.
I don't mind bananas, but working in produce for 15 years, I'm over bananas.
Apples.
Red apples, yes. Green apples, no.
Jesus, dude. How about grapes?
Green grapes, yes. Red grapes, no.
What?
Black grapes, no.
All right. Well, this lady goes on to say that it's not just the gimmick. The sauce's distinctive color, which comes from the red dragon fruit, or pitia.
Ah.
She said she suffered from depression and anxiety, and she found that the fruit's properties useful in treating her conditions. She says she has a relationship with the sauce. Still, I don't know if I'm eating pink sauce, dude.
All right. Yeah, no.
Somebody puts out a thing on Twitter here. Somebody tweets, COVID, monkeypox, abortion rights decimated, and now the unholy pink sauce. The four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Nice, nice.
She says, I'm a normal human being, and this morning I woke up to a million insults. Everyone's all over her shit. Hmm. I don't know. I might have to order the pink sauce and try it here, dude.
I'll $20. I'll look it up on YouTube. But it's probably
Florida. I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same stuff as in Poland. It's probably borscht with cream in it.
All right,
borscht.
So the Jews, you know, our government is trying to shift us into this climate change thing, the Green New Deal. KHOU, Channel 11 in Houston, they're reporting that a massive wind farm is going to be built off the Galveston coast.
Oh, wow. So, off the Galveston coast? So on the water?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the water. They're going to take these giant metal structures that are going to save our planet, that are oozing with oil and rare earth elements, and that break down. They're going to put these in the ocean because... Shit, there's no fishing that goes on in Galveston, right?
Buddy, it's all fishing.
Port for fishing.
It's all fishing.
Yeah, so now they're going to endanger all that. Yeah, they're going to say, oh, it's going to provide sanctuary and bring sea life closer, and it's going to be easier to catch. My ass.
Right.
I've seen these windmills. You saw them in the same state of Texas. When they had that bitter cold snap, there was no fucking wind. So guess what? No fucking power. Guess what? People fucking died. Telling you, it's a serious shit, man.
Yeah, and there's a you head over through the hill country and up into like New Mexico and Colorado, I stopped counting at 200 windmills. They're just everywhere. They're just covered everywhere with windmills.
This article goes on to say more than 500,000 acres of federal waters, about 24 nautical miles from the coast of Galveston, is a section of the Gulf that has been designated by wind energy area. At Biden's direction, federal officials are planning to lease the marine property to a company able to turn wind into power. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management officials said the project would be able to produce enough power to power 3.5 million homes.
Now, here's the thing. You put a windmill out in the middle of the water. Do you just run a big extension cord through the water to get it to land? Why would you go through that extra BS? Just put it on frickin' land.
Among the concerns are the many of the region's fishers and shrimpers. Texas shrimpers said that they've been burned in the past by others who do business in the Gulf. They claim the offshore oil industry has left debris and equipment at the bottom of the ocean floor. The unseen material often gets caught in their trolling nets, causing major damage to their boats. Their boots. Right. Here's people that have made their life's living off the coast. And now we're going to do this.
Yep.
And the impact it has on the wildlife. I thought the Green Initiative was about saving the planet. The wildlife run. Oh. So the wildlife you don't care about either. I know you want us to go from 7 billion people down to 7 million people. I get it. I get why Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland. I get why we're giving away these leases on these federal waters because it's a cash grab. I get it. But stop already. You're taxing shit that I... All right.
Fired up. All right.
I know, dude. Gets me fired up. That's why I take it in small doses, just a tip.
Go ahead and start the next story. I gotta be right back.
Yeah, no worry. I got it. I can fill in. I can do a commercial for fantasy football. Do you play fantasy football? Do you win when you play fantasy football? Let me tell you about a site I have, winningfantasyfootball.com. It's also known as Hall of Fame fantasyfootball.com. Several years ago, about 10 years ago, I was inducted into the Yahoo Toyota Hall of Fame for fantasy football. Well, I was lucky to be one of the first people in. And, you know, I have a certain way of doing things. I've won hundreds of championships. I've won a ton of money playing fantasy football. That's what I really do. This gig here at both mics, this is nice. I like it. But what I really do is I play fantasy football and I help other people win at fantasy football. I can do as much or as little as you want. I can help you adjust your draft prep and give you documentation that shows exactly what to do, exactly who to pick, and exactly when to pick them for the whole draft. I have programs that are unique to your special league's settings. So in other words, if you use PPR, you don't use PPR, use a super flex quarterback, whatever. I have programs for you. 93% of my customers made the playoffs in their league. Would you like to be one of those? Would you like to make money? I can help you do that. Look for me at winningfantasyfootball.com or hallofamefantasyfootball.com.
Yeah.
How about that, Mike?
Not everybody gets to brag that their best man from their wedding is in the frickin' Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. So, yeah.
I know.
When people try to talk football, I'm like, yeah, but do you play football like my buddy plays football? No, you don't. Sit down. Fuck you. And then I get fired. No.
Yeah. So, according to Fool.com. According to Fool.com, this is the Motley Fool site.
Motley Fool.
Okay. AT&T added a better than expected 813,000 net post-paid phone customers in the second quarter. Wow. These people pay monthly bills and are generally the most sought-after accounts for wireless companies. AT&T also added 196,000 prepaid phone customers.
Wow.
AT&T's broadband internet was another bright spot. The AT&T fiber giant gained 316,000 net subscribers during the quarter, but it sounds like they're losing one, right?
Yeah, well, as far as cable, and it's – believe it or not, their AT&T or their streaming service for their TV is with DirecTV now. They just changed the name. You know, when you turn the TV on, it used to say My AT&T. Now it says DirecTV, and it's not connected to a satellite dish, so I don't know. Yeah. Kind of not cool. Having to like relearn how to watch TV, not a fan, but about ready to
watching
do it again.
Watching a lot of TV anyway, so.
Yeah. So, but it went up from $130 a month to $140 a month, and, you know, which is almost 10%, and nothing better about it. So.
Well, AT&T's got a lot of, right?
And what's strange is, like, we'll watch TV in the evening at night, like, we're going to sleep, and, like, commercials will come on, and then they'll have, like, a buffer spot, like a hamster on a wheel just running, and they're like, do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, because they can't sell enough commercials.
Well, not only that, but they also regionally lease out spots. So in the southeastern United States, this regional company will buy that airtime there, but everyone else is going to see the hamster.
Right. Yeah. So wow.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah. And, God, what was I going to say? Oh, and, as far as, their cell phone service, I'm afraid to go with another cell phone provider because AT&T is just so good. No drop calls, no issues, no nothing. And when we were living in Texas, Brenda's brother, we used to help him with a festival he did in October. And it's the only cell phone service that would work in the Bandera area of Texas, where the cowboy was originated. It comes out that one of my brother-in-law's neighbors, who lives in this very small town of like 250 people, an AT&T executive retired to that town. And before he retired, he made sure they had cell phone service before he moved there.
Smart.
Yeah,
smart.
So this little town of 272 people has freaking Mac Daddy G52 freaking cell phone service.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So he's able to run credit cards off his cell phone and all kinds of stuff at this festival.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. When I had T-Mobile, when I first moved to Texas, I had T-Mobile. I'd go up to his house, and it would actually network over or share over to AT&T.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they own AT&T, T-Mobile?
No. No, T-Mobile does not own AT&T.
So they were like buying that the local stuff for your phone to use. They were buying it from AT&T from T-Mobile.
They were piggybacking towers or whatever. Piggybacking off of AT&T.
So, wow, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. But
literally middle of nowhere.
Well, apparently the reason why the stock slipped and all this is, you know, all the stocks are slipping, but
everything.
Apparently their on-hand cash like went down like 80%. So I don't know what they've been doing. They've been diversifying. They own Time Warner and stuff like that, I think, too. So,
really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Domino's. Mike, do you like Domino's pizza?
Domino's pizza is fantastic. When I came home from college and like in 1986 up to New Jersey, I'd never heard of it before. And one of my best friends from high school was a manager all of a sudden. Like he went from being a high school student to being a manager at a Domino's Pizza. And I love Domino's. I love the concept. I loved everything about it. I love the fact that a medium pizza was $3.85. You know?
When was that?
Dude, 1986.
So, oh, okay. Well, yeah. Fucking gas was 80 cents a gallon, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, when it came time for me to get a second job, I went right to Domino's. And I worked for Domino's Pizza. I drove my own car, a 1982 Trans Am with a 305 four-barrel carburetor.
You got them pizzas there quick.
Oh, dude. And it was back in the day of 30 minutes 30 or minute less.
30-minute guarantee?
Yeah. Yeah. And you get $3 off. And dude, I would work a Friday night and I'd make like $100 and I'd have like a case of beer from everybody. Cause where I worked was a very blue collar part of New Jersey.
Right. Right. Here, take a beer.
Here, take a beer. Here, take a beer. I'd have a hodgepodge of like literally like 10 beers in my car by the end of the night.
Perfect. You can have a pizza, you have beer, and you're going home with money. What else could a young guy want?
It was a great job. I loved it. Yeah, that was back in the day when they had the Isuzu pup, the pickup truck, and Domino's branded pickup trucks. But I drove my own car. I lived in a town called Westwood, New Jersey. And this was before I actually worked for them. And where I lived, there was a road that cut diagonally through a T intersection. And the building that I lived in was cut off at a 45-degree angle. So the building didn't come at a 90-degree angle. It came, and then it's a 45-degree angle. And that part of the building was actually on that crisscross diagonal street. And I would always order the pizza. And, they would come, and I would see the little Domino's car coming around the ground. And then he would get out of the car, and he would go to the phone booth across the street at the Ford dealership, and he would call me. And he'd be like, hey, I can't find your address, 46 Madison Avenue. Where is it? I go, turn around, look up. You see on the third floor that guy waving at you? That's that's me at 46 Madison Avenue. And he's like, that's not Madison Avenue. I go, yes, it is. I go, look how the building's cut off and the way it's, 45 degrees. He goes, oh. I go, yeah, I get $3 off, right? I didn't even have to have exact change. If I was short money, no problem, because I knew I was going to get $3 off my pizza.
Nice.
Yeah. So what's going on with Domino's?
Doing that or what?
What's that?
Did you get tip? Did you get big tips?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to figure. Come to think of it, I don't know if it was three. I think it was maybe $5.85 for a pizza. So like $5.85, they'd probably give you like $7. I was expecting like $1, $2 a pizza, and you load your car.
Yeah, if I'm ordering pizza, the minimum tip is $5, dude.
Yeah, well, this is back.
Because I want to make sure the next time you deliver it to me, you don't spit in it.
God, I don't think I've ever had the same delivery guy twice anywhere I've ever bought pizza delivered.
Well, it's funny that we're talking about
Domino's.
Having a problem. Domino's is struggling with free. According to CNNBusiness.com, this must be true. The delivery business continued to be more pressured in the second quarter during staffing problems for CFO Sandeep Reddy during an analyst call Thursday. Delivery sales at stores opened at least a year fell 11.7% year over year in the second quarter. In the United States, sales at the stores opened at least a year fell 2.9%. But that's not the problem. The biggest problem is they can't get the pizzas delivered. So what they've done to kind of help themselves, because there's everybody's got delivery, DoorDash, Grubhub, all these places, and everything's delivery now. So they're not special in that effect. And if you want Domino's pizza, you want to get it delivered, I get it. That's where we are in society. We stand in front of the microwave. Come on, I don't have all minute. You know, we're impatient. I get it. But what they've done at Domino's, which I think is kind of smart, they took their people that were like answering the phones and cashing people out, and they go, no, you go get in a car. You're taking pizzas. And they sub out a lot of the stuff to a call center who's helping everyone at Domino's overcome this issue. So I think that's pretty smart. It didn't say where it is. I don't think it's like India. Hello, thank you for calling Domino's. My name is Brenda. How can I help you? Yeah, first of all, sure, your name's not Brenda, okay?
Right.
Second of all, where are you? You have called Domino's. Yes, but where are you? I'm in the office on the phone. Where are you? Are you in India? Are you in Pakistan? Where are you? Oh, I am in the Philippines. Okay. Exactly. So I'm going to place an order with you for the place that's 15 minutes down the street that I'm too fucking lazy to go to. I got to make a call to the Philippines to have you turn around and send that order to the guy 15 minutes down. Yeah, dude, it's ludicrous, but that's what they have to do.
And like right by us, not even a mile away, there's a Publix. Imagine that. And where there's a Publix, there's always a Chinese restaurant. Always a Chinese restaurant. Every single Publix plaza has a Chinese restaurant. I know the guy that does it, and he makes sure that everyone has one. But there's a Pizza Hut there. Across the street, there's another plaza. There's a brand new Domino's Pizza. Not next to that, but literally 150 feet away, there's a Marco's, Papa Murphy's Pizza. And then another 150 feet away from there is the Marco's Pizza. And these are all these chains that have the conveyor belt pizza. You know, there's literally four of them within a stone's throw of each other. And,
You've had Marco's before?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
You like Marco's better than Domino's?
I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah, you can actually get a full-size pizza. You know, what we know is a large pizza you can get at Marco's.
But it doesn't have the same price point. I mean, it's Marco's a little more expensive than Domino's, though.
Yeah, probably by about $5. But
and Papa Murphy's that's a take and bake product, I think, right?
Yeah, I've never bothered with it. But here's the thing with Marco's Pizza and Domino's is the same way now. You do it through the app. You don't call and talk to Josephine downtown. You know, you do it through the app because they'll throw you a couple bucks. You know, no delivery fee or something like that. They'll throw you a couple bucks. Or, you know, you can do the coupons and get a special.
Well, it's worth it at that point because it's worth it to both them and you because they're all having problems finding people. They have to pay them exorbitant amount of money, which make prices go up anyway.
To answer the phone.
Yeah. For instance, do you treat the kids to McDonald's? Do you eat McDonald's?
Yeah, of course. We went to Burger King last night.
When was the last time you saw the dollar menu?
Oh, yeah. No, that's gone. That's gone. That,
yeah.
That disappeared.
When did that go?
That disappeared March of 2020.
When they had to start paying people $80 an hour to fucking flip a burger. And then, oh, by the way, those four people are now in one job because we've got computer screens in the lobby. I've been to a redesigned McDonald's in the recent past year, and it's not registers and shit. It's the menu board. You go to the menu thing. They don't even have a cashier, dude. It's non-existent.
Yep. Crazy. Last time we were inside of a McDonald's was in Miami for Monsters of Rock, and it was exactly that. You know, you can't order it the way you want it on those screens, though. You know, since I was 10 years old, I've ordered every time I order a soda, it's with no ice. You can't order a soda with no ice on those screens, but luckily they have the fact.
Throw it back at them. When they give it to you, throw it at them. I didn't want this.
Right?
Get off my lawn, guy.
Yeah, the Wendy's right by the boys' preschool, same thing. You walk in, and there's a screen there. There's not even a person or a cash register that you could see. You know, you want to pay cash for your food? Well, it's an inconvenience. You'll have to get the guy from the fryer. He'll come over and he'll pay you cash.
National coin shortage. Remember that shit? My mess. You're trying to recover all the metals that are out there because you need them to build shit like nickel and stuff for computer parts and all this other shit. That's the coin shortage. You were short of coins. So you take all the coins from the people.
It's all the coins are in my closet in my big, huge 5-gallon water jug.
Yes. I remember doing that, dude. Used to be able to do that. And then when the thing fills up, you got like $1,000 or something stupid. It was crazy.
They say a five gallon water bottle, if you fill it, it's like 10 grand. And dude, literally, mine is like 6 inches of coins because the only time I have money is when I go on vacation.
Right.
I never carry cash with me.
Right. Yeah.
I took $100 out of the checking account for the Motley Crue show. I go to the Motley Crue show. I buy three rounds of drinks for us. I buy T-shirts. We go to Ale House. I use my credit card. I come home with $100 cash in my pocket.
Yeah.
What do I? The only thing I pay cash for is I buy lottery tickets.
Yeah. Well, and even at some places like Circle K and 7-Eleven, you can buy them on your debit card.
Right. I don't know my PIN. I don't use my PIN. No clue what my PIN is because I use my Southwest Airlines credit card and everything, and I go fly for free.
Well, here's another thing about about what we've been talking about not finding people and stuff to work. Employees at, this is according to the 6abc.com, that's the Philadelphia ABC station. Employees at a Center City Philly Starbucks go on strike, refusing to open the store. Okay. Workers of the Starbucks at 12th and Walnut Streets in Center City, Philadelphia, are refusing to open the store Friday during a 24-hour strike. The employees are making allegations of unfair work environments, intimidation, refusal to allow union reps to be present, reduced work hours, and retaliation since they voted to form a union.
Wow.
The strike started at 5:30 a.m. Friday and is expected to end at 5:25 a.m. Saturday.
I'm guessing it's a 24 hour. Mike,
this is the young, woke, privileged young folks here. What do you say about this? Because back in the day, when you used to have unions and so forth to protect you, and I'm sure in some places they still do a great thing, but I don't think the barista at Starbucks needs to be making $100,000.
Yeah,
all right? No. I get it. Because if you do that, you're no longer going to have the dollar menu like we talked about. You're going to have the $100 menu.
Right. So exactly.
Where do we draw the line? Yeah. Where's the middle? Where do we compromise here?
What people need to realize is that a barista is a minimum wage activity, right? You're not splitting atoms. You're not doing brain surgery. You know, you're mixing cream with coffee. Yeah,
it's just like anything else.
If you want to make more money, go to college.
Well, it's just like anything else. I mean, I've worked food service industry, and you know, physically, if I was able to do it, I would still do it, dude. I totally enjoyed it. But at the same time, you get burnt out after a while, and it is what it is. But what I'm trying to say is that those are tipped people, and they're used to working on tips. And I don't see how no longer having you work for tips or pooling those tips or whatever are gonna work. I don't understand what the strike is about. How much more money can you make? How much more money can Starbucks afford to pay you to make their $7 coffee drinks? Oh, and by the way, I think when you go to Starbucks, no matter what size cup you get, they're all the same size. Are you aware of that? Have you seen that online anywhere?
I'm not stupid. All right. I've seen it, and it's BS.
You think so?
Oh, dude, totally. Totally. Like, okay. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's not the same cut. Yeah. No. Yeah. I did not fail geometry. All right.
All right. I'm just saying I'm gonna come back here with three cups from Starbucks in one of our shows, and I'm gonna show you.
You do that. Yeah. And then show me the ice water trick too, because you don't know what you're talking about there either.
Yeah, right. Okay. Don't get me started. They're saying that in this Starbucks stores, okay, 14 of the 18 employees are striking, and they're asking the others not to open the store and withhold their labor. Nearly 200 stores across the country have voted to unionize since last December, when workers at the location in Buffalo, New York, became the first to join. So again, my question here is, do you think the union is helping or hurting this situation for the employees here at Starbucks?
I think it's helping. I've been privy of too many retail operations where, without representation, they've been taken advantage of. And I'm talking a huge box store, that I actually worked for. And, and like you said in the past, it's just the tip, you know, your boss takes this away from you, then it's, you know, then they'll take this away from you. Oh, by the way, you're no longer going to be the department manager for this department. You're going to be the department manager for this department too. But there's no raise.
But your pay is going to stay the same.
Your pay is going to stay the same. Your stress level is going to double, and yeah, you're going to have to deal with twice the BS. And guess what? If you don't like it, that's fine, because there's two people behind you that'll take your spot.
Well, Starbucks responded. Their spokesperson released the following statement to Action News. We currently have a strike happening outside the 12th and Walnut store location. Starbucks has great partners, and we value their contributions. We respect our partners' right to engage in any legally protected activity or protest without retaliation. We are grateful for each partner who continues to work, and we always do our best to listen to the concerns of our partners. Now, I wonder... Starbucks has franchise locations too, right? They're not all company owned.
That I don't know.
I'm not sure of that either.
Yeah, but I'm looking up right now the location of the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, and that's actually at Walnut and 6th Street. So this is six blocks away from the Liberty Bell, which is also six blocks away from Independence Hall. In case you want some Philadelphia trivia.
Mike, that's racist. You're not allowed to talk about our history in the city of Philadelphia, Mike. That's racist.
Is it? I didn't realize that.
Here's the thing. I've been in New York. Sometimes I wonder if there aren't too many Starbucks, because I've been at a street crossing in New York City where there's literally a Starbucks at each corner. You can turn around in whichever way. So if you're meeting somebody at Starbucks, you're screwed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go down to 5th and Main. I'll meet you at the Starbucks. Well, I got a 25% chance of hitting it right the first time. Right. I mean, yeah, crazy, dude.
Well, it's in Kissimmee, perfect example. There's a Starbucks inside the Target in Kissimmee, and there's a Starbucks at the street in front of Target in Kissimmee, along with two pizza places.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Like I said,
Disney
how many,
World was in the news.
How many retail establishments do you need? You know, how watered down do you need? Do you need to get your hands in every market? You know, and look, wait, it's like the whole Walgreens across the street from CVS. You know, how many do we need? Do we need a Dunkin' Donuts at every freaking exit on 95? No. All right.
According to NBCNews.com. One injured and three arrested in Disney World brawl.
Brawl, huh?
The fight occurred Wednesday evening inside the Magic Kingdom, according to a spokesperson for the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando. Well, I thought they had their own stuff. Their own. Okay. Two groups got into a fight at Disney World, ending in arrest and one person hospitalized. The brawl occurred Wednesday evening inside the Magic Kingdom, according to a spokesperson for the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando, Florida. Deputies conducted their investigation and subsequently arrested three people for misdemeanor battery. One person was taken to the hospital for a minor injury. According to the blog Walt Disney World News Today, one family was in line for Mickey's PhilharMagic concert when a member left the line to grab her cell phone, which she had left in her electric conveyance vehicle. When she tried to, this is going to get good. When she tried to rejoin the line, another family refused to let her in and physically pushed her back, a guest told WDW News Today. A confrontation between the families unfolded outside after the show ended. Today, parents could not independently verify the information, and a spokesperson from Walt Disney World did not immediately return request for comment. There's a video. I'm going to try to put it up in post, but it's exactly the families that you anticipated.
This week, I was going to say, should I guess their names?
Yeah, no. We'll just leave this one quiet, and okay. You'll see. Everyone's got their family reunion shirt on it.
The matching photos, shirts. So. Good. Yes. Jones family reunion.
Yes. Well, this way you know who was at fault on what side, you know, because you don't want to swing on anybody at Disney if they're, you know, your third cousin on your mama's side.
You know. Right, you got the white shirts, you got the red shirts, you know. Yeah. Are you sure? are you saying that?
Never mind.
Well, this is curious because this week, after multiple fights involving teenagers, forced Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park to close early.
Wow.
The theme park issued a new chaperone policy on Fridays and Saturdays until further notice. Under the new policy, guests age under the age of 17 must be accompanied at all times by chaperones who are 21 or older. Anyone who does not follow the policy could be removed from the park. Last year, a Las Vegas man was sentenced to 6 months in jail for participating in a 2019 family brawl in Disneyland's Toontown.
Yeah, yeah.
Video taken by a bystander.
Well, I think we discussed that.
Video taken by a bystander depicted a man spitting on a woman, hitting her in the face, and pulling her hair. Multiple people joined the tussle, and an elderly woman in a wheelchair was injured.
Yeah.
In 2019,
hair weaves flying everywhere.
2019, a fight broke out between a group of teenagers at Worlds of Fun in Kansas City, Missouri, according to the sheriff's office in Clay County. In a tweet, the department added, "It's unfortunate that families and children had their evening disrupted by these events."
Right.
Have you ever been at a place, Mike, like this, a park or something, and seen a big brawl like that?
No, just concerts. Yeah, the usual. Yeah, melees between security and the county sheriff and two stupid guys who were drunk out of their mind. You know, stuff like that. But yeah, my ex-mother-in-law. I ever tell you that story about my ex-mother-in-law?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. In the 90s, when my ex-wife's family moved to Ocoee, and the oldest brother got a job working at Magic Kingdom. And he fit in perfectly. He was, rainbow friendly and was in the parades all the time. He did singing, dancing, all that stuff. And we went with the in-laws once to Magic Kingdom because I think we had passes or something like that. And we would always meet at the clock on Main Street. And this way, when the parade came left to right. And as the parade came down, you could see there's Rick, right? So my mother-in-law has the disposable camera. She's out there taking pictures of Rick as he comes down the street. And about 12 feet to our other side, you know, the parade's coming left to right. And on the right side, there's a guy. He's like, "Excuse me, ma'am, can you, we're trying to watch the parade." And she's like, "You know, my son's in the parade. I want to take pictures of my son." And she goes, "Can you get out of the way? We're trying to watch the parade. My kids can't see." She turns around and screams at the top of her lungs, both middle fingers in the air, "Fuck you!"
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Meanwhile, the parade music is going on in the background Mickey's
chucking and jiving. He's doing his thing. Never been so mortified in my entire life, dude. Unbelievable. Dude, top of her freaking voice, just screaming. And like her husband's just like mortified. Yeah. Mortified. Those people are horrible people.
It's crazy.
Mental freaking
issues. Before you know it, the show's over, Mike. That's it. We're at the end here again.
Wow. Jesus. So we top it off with mental issues with my ex-mother-in-law. Fucking stupid broad. Unbelievable. She's not dead yet either. God damn it.
Episode 134 in the books. Mike, anybody to shout out to?
Yeah. No.
Your ex-mother-in-law?
Marilyn Toth, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you! Double middle fingers, bro. Fuck you!
All the little kids are holding their Mickey balloons, right? And shit with their ears on.
Unbelievable, dude! And not even—if I'm lying, I'm dying, dude. Not even an exaggeration.
No, I believe you. I believe. All right, so go check out my friend Gino Losi. Check him out on the socials. Catch some big fish. GINOLOSI. You'll be happy you did. Check out my friend Dustin Levine at the Melon Patch Theater in Leesburg. Buy an advertisement, make a donation, buy some tickets, go see a play or something on your own. It's great to see community stuff. Go ahead and support that. And check out my friend Night Fan Stan at Jet Set Printing for all your printing needs in Central Florida and the Orlando area. Thank you for watching 134. We'll see you next time.
Yes. Take care, folks. Ciao.
Ladies.